Well, the date was 1976, and the place was Cravens, England. Don Siddle had this nagging backache. He'd been there for years. And being a man, he just ignored it. Until it got to the point where this nagging became too much. And so he went to the doctor, and his doctor decided to do an x-ray because he couldn't figure out what was wrong. And it showed in his back was a bullet. Now, Don had absolutely no recollection of ever being shot. But what the doctor did know was that due to the amount of scar tissue, the bullet had been there for quite some time. And there was a big debate on whether or not they could or should remove the bullet. After much discussion with doctors and specialists and so forth, they ended up doing the surgery. And upon removing the bullet, they examined it. And it took some time for them to figure out exactly what it was that they were looking at. Because it was a bullet fragment from a German machine gun. And Don had no recollection of having anything to do with machine guns or anything to do with Germans. Until they dated that, and it turned out that Don, age 58, had been carrying it around for 36 years. And upon learning that, Don realized that what he thought was a minor injury that he sustained during the evacuation of troops during the Battle of Dunkirk. He was one of those non-military people who went in to help save the troops. He thought he had just scraped his back. What he didn't know was he had sustained a bullet injury, mere fractions of an inch from his spine. And it was only until the time when it was the only time in his entire life he was anywhere near anything war-related. There's another date in the early 1800s, and the place was northern Bolivia. Jose Silva, a Jesuit priest, had an argument with a man who was a Serrano Indian, who, without any sort of anger in their argument, he just picked up his bow and arrow and shot Jose with an arrow in his face. The arrow had entered near his temple. It emerged near the tip of his nose, right, kind of like through this. Since he was miles and miles from anywhere, and due to his remote location, it took several months before Silva saw a doctor. Now, the physician advised him of removing the arrow, but said it would be very, very painful to do so. Remember, this is the early 1800s. It was remote Bolivia. He had grown used to the arrow in his face and no longer reacted to the startled glances that cause passerbyers to stare at this man who had approximately 4 foot of arrow sticking out of his body. For 11 years, he continued to live a normal life, well, as normal as you can do with an arrow in your head, undisturbed by this protruding shaft. He just went about his life. It was only when he was on his deathbed that he requested a post-mortem extraction lest he face his maker with so grotesquely adorned body. It was only then that he said, "When I die, take this out, because I don't want to meet my maker face to face with this face." Both of these men lived a significant portion of their lives with an injury. Today we read about one of the greatest miracles in the entire New Testament. One of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed while here on earth, it involves a man with leprosy. Now, leprosy was a dreaded disease without any known cure. And apart from a divine touch of God, those who contracted the disease faced a slow, painful death. In fact, in all of the scriptures in the New Testament, there is only one other account where a leper was healed. And in that case, it was 10 lepers. Only one of them returned. It's found in Luke chapter 17. But the healing of leprosy was so miraculous that it was one of the signs that Jesus used to proclaim his deity as Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, it says this: "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news was preached to the poor." You see, the physical sufferings of leprosy was beyond imagination, but the psychological suffering, I believe, was even more intense than the physical. You see, lepers were not allowed to come into contact with any other person, living an incredibly lonely, isolated life. They were banned from having contact with anyone. They were required by law to wear a cloth over their mouths, to tear their clothing so that their infirmity was easily recognized by others. So they couldn't even wear nice stuff. They had to wear torn clothing so everybody could see, "I'm a leper." They had to cry out as they walked through the streets, "Unclean! I am unclean!" as they got closer to people. The life of a leper was, well, difficult. It was difficult, to say the absolute least, with little compassion upon them from anyone else. Oh, and did I mention that they had to live outside the city? They weren't even allowed in the city. While we're not dealing with leprosy in a literal sense, it always pictures sin. We too were once much like the man in our text. We stood in need of a touch from the Lord, living a life of loneliness and isolation due to the sin in our lives. We were separated from God. And so let's look at the details of this absolutely miraculous moment as we consider a life-changing touch in the gospel. Let's read the final verses of the first chapter of Mark. "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning: 'See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." Now, the very first thing we see in this is the condition of the leper. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now keep in mind the loneliness and the pain that this man must have felt from day to day. Each day he woke up to more of the same. His condition continued to deteriorate, and he likely had absolutely no hope of ever being healed. But this day would be different. This day would be different. You see, there was a commotion among the people. Jesus was in their midst. And the very fact that Jesus was there changed everything. His hopelessness transforms into eagerness. In the first phrase of the verse, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. It carries with it the idea of a summons for help, a pleading, a seeking with great intensity, and then you add on to it being on his knees. He was in a desperate situation, and he was determined to get to Jesus. He had absolutely no hope apart from a touch from the Lord. And I have no doubt that his attempt to get to Jesus was not simple. Maybe where there was those who scoffed and scolded him and told him to get back in his place and leave them. To say, you're not allowed here. Go away. Because nowhere in here do I see him crying out, unclean. I am unclean. He was determined to get to Jesus. Now, too often, Satan would have you and I believe that there is no hope. There's no hope for us. That our life isn't worth the effort. That we are beyond help. We are condemned to remain in our condition. This world wants to keep you bound in despair. We feel that we're not worthy to come before the Lord. But he actually is the only one who can help. Now the irony of all of this is that a truth about God gets used against us. He is absolutely holy. We are not in any way, shape, or form. We are not holy as God is holy. The lie is that a holy God could not and would not want us to come to him because we are not worthy. And poor self-esteem is rampant among this generation. But let me encourage you to be just like this leper. To come to the Lord, calling him to your side for deliverance. Because yes, he is holy God, but he wants us to come to him because he's already here. He wants us to recognize him and be delivered by him. That is the truth. And when he came, this leper, he did so out of utter desperation, with all humility. Look at him. He came to him, begging him on his knees. Somehow, he somehow knew Jesus was his only hope. And he came with an attitude of worship, giving honor to the Lord on his knees. Now let's be honest, this leper was breaking the law. He was breaking the law by being in a crowd of clean people, coming to within an arm's length of the Lord, bowing in his presence, but he was determined. You see, a life-changing touch will include an expression of worship of the Lord. We must get to the place that we see Jesus as Lord. He is the one who paid the penalty for our sins. He suffered in our place. And many today never get to that place that they are willing to admit that they need the Lord, much less coming humbly before Him. But Jesus is right. For whatever is wrong in your life, He is right for it. But you must come before Him with an attitude of worship and submission and being humble. With the leper, he also came with an expectation. A man with leprosy came to him, begged him on his knees, and said this: "If you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, this poor leper knew his condition. He knew his leprosy would bring about death. But he also knew that he was in the presence of the only one who could heal him. He knew Jesus had the power to meet his needs if only he would extend his powerful hand. And we must recognize Jesus has the power to provide for our needs. He is able to do all things as his will requires and desires. And this type of faith moves the Lord into action. He stands waiting for those who come by faith. Are you willing to come in faith to the Lord? Believing He is able to supply your needs? You see, the leper's condition was desperate. It was sad, but yet he believed. And so we too must have faith in the Lord. In the next couple of verses, we see the compassion of Christ. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now we read this and go, this is beautiful. But I guarantee you, if you were standing there in that very presence, you would not think, oh, this is beautiful. You would have been horrified. Absolutely horrified at what you were witnessing. But we discovered the gracious compassion of our Lord Jesus, who touched the man and met his needs. You see, in his compassion, Jesus didn't see a frightful leper or an outcast to turn away. He only saw one who had come in faith seeking him. And Jesus saw this man in a way that no one else did. It had probably been a very, very long time since he had even heard an encouraging word. But today was different, because today he met Jesus. Now I'm going to be honest, I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for a compassionate God. And for Jesus' love. I'm glad that He looked at me and He saw me as an untrustworthy, unworthy, despicable sinner. I am so glad that He saw me like that. A sinner that deserved hell. But in His grace, He also saw me as a precious soul that He died to save. And He looks on this world today with a heart of compassion. He paid the debt of sin and wants us to be free of the bondage of sin. I admit it, my sin was great. I'm sure yours is too. But there is not a single sinner who is so wicked that Jesus doesn't love. nor one, no one that is so desperate that he can't help. Because we serve a compassionate Lord. And it was his this compassion that moved him to do something that was so extraordinary and so unexpected and so straight up horrifying to everybody there. Jesus moved with compassion and touched this man. See, leprosy is contagious. And lepers were to have absolutely no contact with anyone else. None. And in this verse, Jesus does the unthinkable. He put forth his hand and intentionally touched the leper. He touched him. It's quite likely that this man hadn't been touched by anyone other than another leper in years. Years. Years since he had felt human touch. He had lived a life of loneliness and separation, but the Son of God touched him. See, Jesus could have very easily just spoke. He could have told him, go wash, like Naaman. Go wash in the Jordan River. I know it's filthy and gross. Just go wash there 7 times. Could have done that. But that's not what he did. He could have spoken and the Son of God would have healed him. But Jesus touched him. He didn't just touch him, he tenderly touched him. He says, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus met the needs of lepers. He had the power to cleanse him, and Jesus was willing to provide healing. And at that moment, the leper was miraculously healed. He didn't have to take 2 pills and call him in the morning. Jesus healed him completely, completely whole from that very moment. See, Jesus had the power to effortlessly and eternally heal this man. And at the moment of salvation, we are cleansed from sin. The guilt of our past is thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. If we can fathom that concept. Never to remember again. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And just like the leper, I didn't deserve what the Lord did for me, but he healed me. He healed me of my sin. My sin is gone, and I am kept in the power of the Lord for all eternity. Yes, absolutely, Satan. His job description includes accusing the brethren. And all the other women too. All of us. That's his job. And he accuses and reminds me of my sin. But the children of God are made whole in Christ. We have been set free from the bondage of sin, delivered from the condemnation that he hurls at us, completely forgiven. I am no longer an outcast, separated from God, but accepted as his child. And as the leper is healed instantaneously, he is given a very unusual command by Jesus. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you do not, or don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And as strange as this command sounds, it's done for a variety of reasons. See, Jesus knew the people were amazed at his miracles. Miracles do point to him being the Christ, but Jesus was more concerned with them seeing him and hearing his message than being consumed with the desire to see more miracles. He wanted them to see him for who he was. He wanted them to hear the message that he had for them. He wasn't about the miracles. He did lots of them, countless miracles. But that wasn't why he came. I've never seen a verse in the Bible that says Jesus came to do miracles. But he was concerned with fulfilling the word of God. And while ensuring the man understood what had just happened, Jesus didn't just send him away. He sent him to the priest at the temple. This man was told to go to fulfill the requirement of the law for his cleansing. You see, this former leper was to go and present himself to a priest and get the certificate of cleansing on the basis of a ceremony mentioned in Leviticus chapter 14. Now, we're all familiar with that ceremony, right? You're not? You've never gone through the ceremony of Leviticus 14? Of course not. You're not a leper. Why would you? And I'm willing to bet that the priests weren't terribly familiar with it either. It was a bit of an ordeal to be declared clean. You see, the person was required to take two birds to the priest and to sacrifice one of them. The live bird was then dipped into the blood of the bird that had been slain. A little bit grotesque, but go with it. This is what God told them to do. And the former leper would then be sprinkled 7 times and pronounced clean by the priest. And this is after he had been examined to see that there was no leprosy. And then the live bird was set free in an open field. So all of this takes place, and they have to take this blood-covered bird out to a field. So they get to walk with it through the streets. There's a fair bit here. And the person was subsequently required to wash his clothes, to shave off all of his hair, including his eyebrows and eyelashes, all of it, every bit of it, and bathe himself in water. And then he's to remain outside of his tent for 7 days. And then he would bring his offerings to the priest on the 8th day. And upon offering the needed sacrifices, he would then be anointed with oil by the priest, saying that he was clean. Now, the first part could be accomplished by any priest in the area. However, any sacrifices that are made must be done in Jerusalem. And we need to remember that Jesus is not in Jerusalem. He's out in the countryside near Capernaum. So this man has to travel all the way to Jerusalem to do this. This is not just a simple, you got a 10-minute task to go do. Jesus' command was no small feat. But Jesus' final statement that this would be a testimony to them was primarily directed to the priests serving in the temple. Any priest involved in pronouncing this former leper clean would have been confronted with the reality of Christ, of his undeniable healing power. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You know, I understand this man's excitement, but we can never condone disobedience to the Lord. Instead of doing as he was instructed, the man told everybody about what the Lord had done. Even though the Lord's instructions had been so clear. It doesn't get much clearer than verse 44. Don't tell anybody. You can't get any more blunt. Zip it. And although he demonstrated humility and submission to Christ in making his request for healing, in his excitement, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the news around. And that was precisely the opposite of what Jesus had commanded him to do. And what is often missed by this disobedience is the result for the man. You see, without this certificate of health that he would have gotten from the priest, he would not be allowed to be included in society. He wouldn't be allowed in public worship of God. And before being healed, the leper was an outsider forced to live in isolated places away from the population centers of Israel. He couldn't live inside a town of any sort. And now, through his disobedience, this former outcast put Jesus into that exact place. Jesus can't enter the towns anymore without being mobbed. Jesus is now forced to the isolated places. By his public testimony of what happened to him, the healed man added to the crowds surrounding Jesus to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out where the leper used to be. Wow. Now we need to remember that this was about 2 years before Jesus went to the cross. And now that he is resurrected, our resurrected Lord, we don't have this condition applied to us. However, as I've said before, the gospel contains enough of an offense that we don't need to add to it in our giving of the gospel. We don't need to add to the offense of the gospel. There's so much of it there. You're a sinner. I love hearing that. How about you? You're going to hell. Oh, whew. Yeah, love it. Tell me more. There's enough of an offense. We don't need to add to it by being obnoxious. As believers, we are expected to proclaim the Lord. But this man told everyone except the one he was supposed to. Jesus gave him one very go to the priest. There's no record anywhere that he ever did this. Had he told the priest, the religious elite within the temple would have seen genuine evidence of the Messiah. But the leper missed the Lord's will. As well as a wonderful opportunity to be a witness for him with the elite, with the priests. And I have no doubt that because this was such an unusual healing, a healing of a leper, that the chief priest himself would have wanted to see this. But rather than being a witness to the priest, His conduct created an environment where Jesus was forced to minister in lonely places. Instead of being able to enter towns, he actually limited the number of people that Jesus could minister to. See, this passage, it doesn't teach that we should refrain from proclaiming Jesus, but it does reveal that obedience is essential. You see, his intentions were good, but it was not his place to do this, as Jesus specifically told him not to. A life of obedience is more desirable than sacrifice. Disobedience to the express command of Jesus, even if undertaken for the best possible motives, could lead only to hampering and hindering his work. I'm sure that we can relate to this. I'm sure that we can. We're all born into sin. We're needing a touch from the Lord to provide cleansing from our sins. Now, if you have been saved, rejoice in your salvation. If you have yet to be saved, come to Christ today. Maybe the Lord has revealed his will for your life, but you haven't responded in obedience to him. If so, you need to confess that and commit to following what he has asked you to do today. Don't go with the best of intentions and do exactly what he's told you not to do. I know that there is so much more that even I don't understand from this passage. I'm going to be honest and say I struggled with this one this week. I think I struggled with it because I wanted to be Jesus. I wanted to take away that leper's healing. He was disobedient. He didn't deserve it. But what would that have done to the healing, to the miracle? I wish I would have been Jesus to go to that man and say, "I told you to go to the priest. I wanted you to do this so that you could be declared clean. I wanted it so you could join society, so that you could worship in the temple or the synagogue. But you didn't listen. So take a look at your arm. I wanted to be that." But that's not Jesus. Because if that was Jesus, I would lose my salvation almost daily. But that's not him. That's not Jesus. And so, yeah, I struggled with this week. I didn't like it. I wanted to be, but I'm not. And thank God that I'm not. And thank God that he doesn't listen to me and that he doesn't follow my advice, because we would be in a lot of trouble in so many different ways. But God is gracious. And he reached out and he touched this man. And he gave to him a gift that I don't know if he ever truly understood it. And God has given me a gift, the gift of salvation. And based upon my reaction to his word this week, maybe there are things that I don't truly understand about it yet either. Let's pray. Oh God, you are good. You are gracious. You are holy. You love us. And I thank you so much for this very passage. A passage where we see this leper coming to you and begging for healing, and you go above and beyond. And even though in the end you healed him and he was disobedient, you didn't act the way I wanted you to act. But you are God. You love us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to act like this. To act like you did. Thank you for this incredible example. Blessed be your name. Amen.